We're going to talk about the principle of the path today, and as the series Endless Possibilities. And this whole series is based upon the fact that over the 4 weeks, I want to kind of share some ideas and some principles and some direction about how to succeed in the things that we want to accomplish. And I truly believe that our possibilities are endless. No matter what your age or where we are in life, there's always opportunities and possibilities to be explored. When those that are in high school, you have in elementary school and junior high school, I mean, everything's before you, and every opportunity is there, and everything can be accomplished in your life. But there are some principles of life, there are some biblical principles that will help guide you that way. I was one of those kids that knew the principles of life. You know, raised by good parents who taught me those things, chose not to do them wisely, and so I took different paths. But eventually, I got the reboot and the restart, was able to begin the pathway to some successes in life. But you can be older, you can be in your 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s like myself, and from that, and begin to see new possibilities. You know, and life isn't over when you hit 65, okay? Life's not over when you hit 75. My father is getting close to 90 and is still writing books. And so he's always creating, he's always thinking, and I always love to see the fact that he has that energy, and I guess what keeps him going with all the health problems, he still has a great mind, and he's still at his age talking about what he wants to do next. I think that's probably why he's still with us, because he has what's next always on his mind. But today we're going to talk about kind of the foundation of all of this. I got some opening statements that I want to share with you this morning. And then when I get into a passage of scripture, I'll set it up as I normally do. But this is kind of an introduction, and you're going to understand more of this in the next 4 weeks as you're with us here. The first thing I want to share with you is that endless possibilities are determined on where and how you begin or where you re-begin. So as we go through this series, I want you to understand it's all about where you start or restart. And I say restart for this reason, because most of us have lived any time in life at all, we've gotten ourselves in a situation where we don't see where the new opportunities are, where that new business may be, where that new opportunity, that new direction, that new education, whatever it might be. We're always thinking, this is coming to the conclusion of my life. And I really believe that it all is based upon where we begin. You know, in a few years, I'm looking to retire, as you do when you get to a certain age. I'm not running real quick at that. But my thought was, in retirement, it's not going to be, I'm ending and I'm just going to exist. That's not the goal of my life. The goal of my life is to say, what's next? And some things I've always enjoyed doing, I'm going to probably go back to school and learn some things and do some things new. Because I want the what's next to be exciting and challenging for me. And you may be in a situation, too, where you've been doing what you're doing for so many years, and you get to the point where you just need a change or whatever, and you want to know, where do we start? And really the principle is that our possibilities are always based upon where we begin, where we re-begin, where we restart. Second of all, life successes are always predictable. This is what I want you to really get as I open up this series. Everything in life is predictable. All things in life are predictable. Everything is predictable. Everything you take out of your life has a response or result that is always something that can be analyzed and know is coming. Let's case in point. Your health. Your health is always something that is predictable. Now, don't get me wrong. There are things that are outside of your normal operation, things that affect your life, things that affect your life that you have nothing to do with. But let's think about this. Most of the things in our health are predictable. What you eat will predict how healthy you are. If we let our kids growing up to have everything they want to eat and not give them the stuff that's good for them, we understand we have a lot of diabetic children because it'd be always Twinkies and sugars and stuff like that. If you smoke, and this is not an anti-smoking campaign here today, although it's not the healthiest thing in the world, obviously you know the result is going to be eventually it's going to have an effect on your health. Now, you may never get cancer from it, because that's somewhat genetic, but I do believe that your ability to perform Your ability to do things will be hindered because you won't have the ability to breathe clearly and all those things there. It's predictable. If you drink a lot, you know that there are some things that are associated with that, including diabetes and eventually maybe some problems with your liver. It's predictable. When it comes to our intellect, if you study and you read, the result is you're going to have understanding. Not maybe not wisdom. Wisdom is something that God gives you. But obviously, if you study and you take courses and you go forward in your education, you're going to be able to see a predictable result. That's the idea of school. That's the idea of college, is that you go and you take these classes, you take these lessons under instructors, you take the test, you learn more, so that eventually you can get a job that was predicted you would have. In fact, if you ever see colleges to put out course studies and majors, they always put on there a predictability about the employment availability for that particular direction. Now, if you're taking French literature, you're probably going to have a 14% chance of working somewhere. But if you're taking engineering, if you're taking courses in mathematics, there's a predictability that you're going to be able to have a job making, and they even give you what the income range will possibly be. That's predictable. When it comes to so many other things in our lives, if you are in relationships, whether it's friends, work, family, whatever, and you treat the other person bad, well, that's predictable that it's going to hinder the relationship. On the other side of it, if you treat the person with love and gentleness and caring, that includes your children, there's a predictable result. And I say that for this reason, when it comes to this endless possibility, people sometimes, endless possibilities, I hope they work out for me. I hope I'm blessed. I hope I get to see my dreams come true. And the answer to that is this. Everything is predictable. And you may be here right now and saying, okay, I'm a high schooler. You got everything in front of you. Doing the right things in your life, taking care of your body, taking care of your spiritual self, taking care of your education. Your parents weren't lying to you when they said you can be anything you want to be if you put in the hard work, because it's predictable. But laziness is also predictable. I told my kids growing up, when it comes to employment, if you want to have, I tell any kid this is a principle that my parents taught me and I pass it down. You will always have job security. Always. You won't have to worry about working if you bring value to the company you work for. If you truly are a person, the go-to person, you won't have to worry about employment. There's always that group of people that seem to go from job to job, get laid off, and because they don't put the effort, it is predictable. Everything in life is predictable. The next one I want to share with you is to open this up. Life, as we go through life, as we get to where we want to be, the same way we got to the place that we are. In all reality, we get to where we should be the same way we got to the place we shouldn't be. And that comes by our direction. When I see people, and sometimes it's heartbreaking, that are going through the struggles of life, going through financial struggles, going through relationship struggles, and I've observed their life for a long enough period of time, and they're asking for prayer, they're asking for help. I always think to myself, everything in life is predictable. And you get to the place you want to be, the same place you got to the place you didn't want to be. That's by the direction. I've seen people go and have lack of income and not have enough to pay the bills, but their work ethics was not really something to be admired. And I know, not to be harsh or whatever, I know I saw this coming. Have you ever said that? I should have seen this coming. Well, many times we see these things coming. In fact, some of us see what's coming in other people's life before they actually see it. But the principle is this. You get to the same way, the same place you want to be, the same way you got to the place you don't want to be, and that's by your direction. Keep that in mind as we go through the series. Another one, direction, not intention, determines your destination. You heard of the phrase that the road of life is paved with good intentions? Everybody You know, when we're young, we have these dreams of what we want to do and stuff, but we never put them into practice. We never step out to do something. Now, I was a late bloomer when it came to my life as an adult. Many of you know I was that kid that at 16 years old, I signed the papers of going to the military. The day I turned 17, I left for the military. My father signed me in. I quit school. I got my GED in the military, and then I went on to college. But I got to tell you, my parents would give me these talks all the time, and they would tell you, you got to change your direction. And I always thought to myself, I intend to do that. But it wasn't until I actually did it that I began to see the destinations become clearer and clearer and clearer. And sometimes you just have to step out and begin to walk the walk that you want to walk to get to the place you want to be. Direction, not intentions, determine your destination. You can be here right now, and maybe you're in that midlife, and you've worked that job for so many years, and it's made the money. You're feeling good about that, but you're not satisfied in that vocation. And one day you said, I intend to go back to school. I intend to do this. Well, good intentions are not going to get it done. It's going to be the fact that you decide, I'm going to now change my directions to get to the destination I want to be. And the last little tidbit is open this up. I want you to understand as we get into the passage I'm going to give you, it all begins on the strength and firmness of our foundation. Now, some of our foundations, obviously, we inherited. I mean, there are some case studies out there of people and studies out there and examples of folks that didn't have the best foundation growing up. They didn't have the support of mom and dad. They didn't have the things that they could provide for them. And obviously, that made it more difficult. If you're in a family where there's loving parents and loving siblings and all that, you're going to find that you have a greater foundation. It doesn't mean either one of you can get to where you want to go. You still have to do it on your own. I've been reading some books lately, and one book that I thought was quite interesting that talked about some people that were very successful. And the creator of Apple, his name escapes me right now, so help me out here. Steve Jobs, I was reading a chapter about him. He created, what was one of the greatest technology things that could be created. To this day, I have an iPad and I have an iPhone. Any of you have an Android, I'm sorry that you live in that world there. But I read his history, and I didn't realize that he basically was a mistake birth. And that basically his parents were not wanting to have him. Fortunately, they didn't go through the times of abortion, but they decided that they didn't want him, and so they put him up for adoption. And he was adopted to a family. And when I read some of his stories about some of the things that went wrong in his life and the things that went right in his life or whatever, I thought to myself, man, that's tragic. But here's the thing that it was. Is when these parents put them up for adoptions, they chose who would adopt them. And they said, we will only let him be adopted as a baby by people that will pledge to put him through school and put him through college and invest in his life. And the parents he got did exactly that. So I saw the situation where this baby basically was not wanted by one group of parents, but he got into another group of parents that gave him that firm foundation to do what he could do. Where we start, the foundation is vitally important. Scripture I'm going to read, I'm going to set it up for in a second here, and it really kind of hit home for me when I was looking at this week. But let me set it up. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 5, 6, and 7, there's what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And what this was Jesus had just came on the scene. He had just been baptized by John the Baptist. And he began to get a group of followers around him. And he began to get the interest of the religious leaders who were watching this guy carefully because he began to rise in popularity and a following. And that always intimidated the Jewish leaders and the religious leaders of that day. And he began to talk ways that no one ever talked before. He began to teach things that were never taught before. And the Sermon on the Mount is his introductory message to the crowd that was following him, those that were skeptical, those that were intimidated by him, and
That's a lasting message for you and I to understand. And in chapter 5, 6, and 7, and we're not going to read it all. We're not going to read, you know, the whole thing. He begins to give teaching on subject matters that are practical to life. It starts out with the Beatitudes, and which is, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be healed. Blessed are those who are poor, for they... All those different blessings there, and the word blessed in the Greek there means happy or fulfilled are those. But he begins to contradict the Jewish teaching, because he was elevating those that were poor and those that were sad, because the Jewish teaching was, is if you're really in God's, you know, you're the apple of God's eye, you're going to have things, you're going to be happy, you're going to be successful, you're going to be fruitful. But he said, no, spirituality has nothing to do with all those little things and material things there. He said, God, you know, you're blessed because at times you do mourn. Sometimes you don't have stuff, but you still have God. And he gives us teaching. Then he goes on to the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's opening up the narrative about some practical things. He gives lessons about forgiveness. He talks about forgive those that have hurt you and despitefully hurt you, and those that have offended you. Forgive them as you want to be forgiven. He talks about money. He talks about don't worry, don't count it all your treasures here on earth. Put your treasures in heaven. He begins to kill off the idea of prosperity, success, that God is blessing, that if you're in God's eye, apple of God's eye, that you're going to be blessed. He begins to say, don't worry about that. God is not measuring you by your monetary value. He talks about the idea of morality and many things about that. He gives all these lessons, and you ought to read it, chapter 5, 6, and 7, because he does all these things. And he teaches all these things, practical stuff about relationships, about taking people to court, about, it's just a multitude of things. He's changing the dialogue and the discussion about what true spirituality is and what true success is. And then he gets to the one passage that is quite interesting. And as he does, he always does things in story forms, and he gives you a visual picture. That's what I love about reading Jesus' teaching. Whether you're a Christian, you know, follow God or not, his teachings and his stories are really, really awesome to read, because they have some practical understanding that comes with them. So he does all this teaching in chapter 5, 6, and 7. And he gets to the end of chapter 7, and he closes it out. And obviously, anybody who's a speaker knows that the opening and closing are your most important things. So he opened on, blessed are the poor, for they will inherit the kingdom of God, which was totally against the grain when it came to Judaism. And then he closes with what's important. Those are the bookends of any great speech, and that's what he did. And here's what he said in Matthew chapter number 7, verse 24 through 27, it'll be on the screens there. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words, and it's talking about the Sermon on the Mount, all the things in chapter 5, 6, and 7, of mine, and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when he says that idea about, and I want to use it as a metaphor, he says, everybody who listens, and he builds his house upon a rock, and the rock is all the information that he has given, all the solid truths he has given, all the principles, and you can even incorporate the principles of the scriptures and the principles of life. If, and what he's saying, if you do the right things, if you lay the right foundation, if you do those things, there's going to be a result. And I think about the idea when he uses that phrase there, built his house on the rock. I think about that, you know, in a metaphor kind of way, the hard work, putting the time in, measuring appropriately, estimate it the right way, analyzing what you're doing. Rock reminds me of hard work, what you put into it. And this is what he says here. He says, if you put in the house built upon the rock, your time, your patience, your hard work. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Now, some of you will remember, too, that other places when he asked Peter, who do you say I am, or who do people say I am, Peter says, you know, you are Christ the Lord. He says, that truth there upon this rock, and he's referring to himself as the rock, I will build my kingdom. And what Jesus is really saying here, after I teach you these principles, and you follow what I'm saying, and you live by these principles, it'd be like somebody who decided to build a house, and they build it on a solid foundation, which is Christ and his principles. And interesting enough, he says here, The rain, he didn't say, maybe the rains come. He says, the rains will come. He says, the streams will rise up. The winds will blow and beat against it. Yet it did not fall, and it will not fall because its foundation was on the rock. We're talking about endless possibilities. If you want to get to where you have a preferred future, if you want to see the possibilities open, it all starts with your foundation. And I really believe this is a great story because it tells us two things here. It tells us what to do, and it tells us what's coming. Every successful person has not had it easy. Life is full of bumps and bruises. We are guaranteed something in this passage. We are guaranteed the storms. We are guaranteed the winds. We are guaranteed the high waters. And that can be many things. That can be relationships that betrayed you. That can be health situation you might run into. That can be job changes. That could be whatever it may be. But if you start on the foundation that is solid, when those things come, you will stand the test. And they will come. If you want to see what is the future for you, if you want to see what the preferred future is for you, it all begins with where you start. And if you start on the rock, which is the principles of Christianity, the life principles that are normally understood, and when you live by those principles, you put in the hard work, you dedicate yourself, those storms will come, but you're going to keep moving forward. Because when you started, you decided how you would start and what foundations you will build on. You know, when it comes to business, you know, and I talk a lot about business with friends and stuff, and I have a certain understanding of business. There are some basic business principles. Even when we went to buy this building here, it was some business principles that we had to understand to put into effect here. And those principles are pretty much guaranteed. And the scriptures talks a lot about money and handling money and business principles. And I've told many people before that if you want to start something new, look to the scriptures for the subject matter you're dealing with or with the direction you're going, and you will find great advice and wisdom throughout the scriptures about how you can start strong because the foundation is important. But then he contrasts the story here. He goes on here and he says this. He says, after he says here, the foundation on the rock, verse 26 says, but everyone who hears these words. Now here's it. Everybody heard the same words, but they responded differently. He says, everybody that hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus had a way of making most complex issues simple. And he talks about these two individuals or two mindsets. But here's how I want you to get this. Everybody in life has access to the same information. I mean, everybody in life has access to the same wisdom. When you're raising a family and you teach your kids, and every so often, you know this, if you got two or three kids, four kids, or whatever it may be, and I had two brothers, the information we were given growing up was the same. The principles we were taught about life were the same. The biblical principles we were taught were the same. And me and my older brother, who are very close in age, not even 2 years apart, we had probably more time together than when the younger brother came. And here's what happened. And I would say this, okay? My dad and mom, at time with me and my older brother, they had the wise son and they had the foolish son. And I say that. We have the same information. My older brother followed it, the direction that he was given. He did things that he was supposed to do based upon principles that have predictable results. Me, I followed my own path. He was in school, he studied, he educated, stayed out of trouble. Me, not so much. And I told you the story before. We sat around the kitchen table. Is that my dad would go around the table and say to Dave, "How was school today?" And Dave would give his report, always a little egotistical, how good he was, that little halo over his head. And then my dad would skip over the middle son because he was kept me to last. He'd say, "Trace, how was school today?" And Trace would say, it was good. You know, he'd give his updated report. And then my dad would turn to me every time, "Greg, did you go to school today?" And that is a fact. What I found in that life experience is that the pathway my brother took to the same place I am, because he pastored for 40 years until he retired this year, the same pace he took, he went from graduating to college seminary to assistant pastoring to pastoring. The pathway was just laid out for him. Me, I got to the same destination, but mine was in the military. Unhappy after a while being in there. Getting out. Going to college. Having some health issues. Angela had some health issues. She was born. She had blood poisoning. Had to drop out with heavy hospital bills. Had to go through financial struggles. Left school. Got discouraged and got away from God and the principles that I was taught. Got in a car accident. Kind of busted up my back. That's why a lot of times you see me sitting on Sundays, not standing the whole time, because I can't do either one real long times. But eventually got back on track, went back to school with two kids, which was a whole challenge there, by the way. Finished up. But I began to take the path. To me, I look at the path as being a great lesson for me. But, I look back, and I think of all the struggles. And I think of all the stupid things I did. I think to myself, sometimes I wish I just would have listened, graduated, went to college, all those things to get where I wanted to go. See, you still can get to where you want to go, but you have to choose wisely. And Jesus gives this parable, this teaching here, and he talks about a simple thing. Two people with the same stinking information. Two people heard exactly the same thing. Two people had the same understanding of what the teacher was saying. But then what Jesus puts here about this idea of success and possibilities, he said one did the right thing by building a foundation on everything I said, and one ignored it. And the same storms came, and one succeeded and one failed. And that comes down to what I wrote down here is really the principle of the path is this. Not only is the direction we are going important, but how solid the ground that we're walking on, the foundation, the principles, the practices, and the patterns. The principles, the practices, and the patterns make all the difference. So as we go through this series the next few weeks, we're going to talk next week about potential, and I'm going to kind of blow some myths out of here about where you think potential comes from. But the idea I want you to get today as we begin this series is simply this. Wherever you are in life, if you're a high schooler here, a middle schooler here, yeah, we all know this, those of us who are adults, you have everything before you. When your parents say, do this, do your homework, do your studies, hang with the right people, don't do the wrong things, they're not doing it because they want to be mean, although they may want to be mean sometimes to you. That's the joy of parenting. They've been where you are. They don't want you to see the mistakes they may have made. And here, you ready for this? Young people, they are smarter than you. Respect it. But also, parents, remember this too, is that how you put the information out there has a lot to do with the way that they're going to listen to it. Consistency. Loving. I found with raising my kids, I was never a holler or a yeller in the house. I wasn't that one parent. I got through to my kids when they were younger more about sitting down, and my voice kept getting softer because I was trying to target their heart, because I won't get their mind until I got their heart first. And to me, I think Jesus, when he gave this information, did it in such a graceful way. But some listen and some don't. So we need to understand is that the principles, if you want to succeed, you want to flourish, you want to see your goals met, you want to see that, then principles are important. Putting the principles into practice are important in creating a pattern. And that pattern is predictable. So before I get to the walkaway, I just want to ask this question. What is your preferred future? Maybe you're in a vocation to where, it's a job and you're getting the money coming there, but you're not fulfilled and you've always dreamed of doing something else. What are you doing to start that foundation, to make it happen? And I want to encourage you. Jesus taught for 3 chapters here, the Sermon on the Mount. He laid out some practical things. And all he said, listen, the wise person who listens and does these things will succeed. And the possibilities are endless. Here's the walkaway. The walkaway this morning is very simply this. The best way to predict your future possibilities is to pay attention to the direction you are heading. It's not profound. Yes, I wrote it. I didn't rob it from somebody. It's just common sense. By the way, did you know that most successful people and successful things that happen in life are common sense? To me, it's because common sense looks at things as predictable. You know if you do this, this is going to happen. The best way to predict your future possibilities is to pay attention to the direction you're going. And my question is, what direction are you going right now? Do you need to turn around? Do you need to stop where you're at and reevaluate? Do you need to take some of the things you thought were your principles that haven't worked out because they're not really principles? They're just maybe what somebody told you. Maybe you need to start searching the scriptures for principles about things in life, about business, about relationships, about education, about all these things there. The book is full of great information. You can read Proverbs. You can read the book of James. You've got so many places to go to learn the principles. And when you begin to apply the principles to your path, and you have that solid foundation, your possibilities are definitely endless. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? I wanted to get a good start here. Now, one thing about a series I'm doing this time here is that these are not individual messages. I've actually worked out the series, and I've broken it up into 4 parts. Next week, we're going to talk about the idea of your potential. So to understand some things today, you need to be a part of the next few weeks, or at least listen online at our podcast. The introduction to any series is always the most difficult because you're trying to give a great foundation of information that we build upon from here on out. But I truly believe that either if you're beginning or you're having a reboot or a restart, that you need to apply the principles down there. That's your solid foundation. There are things to do or not to do to succeed in anything you want to do. I believe that there's a lot of great information out there that is not Christian information. There's some things that's interesting. A lot of books out there, they don't claim it, but a lot of the principles I read by business people were based upon biblical principles, even though they won't say it. But the wisest book to read is the scriptures. So when you're making a decision about something, you might want to ask yourself, what does the scripture say about this? What can I learn? Is there a principle enacted in the scriptures that is to give me a better pathway to where I want to go? And I got to tell you, truthfully it is. When you do that, you will see the predictability of everything in life. In fact, the Bible even says it like that. Whatever a person sows, they will reap. That's what it says. You know, whatever you put into it, there's a prediction that this is the way it's going to turn out. If you invest in the good things in your life and the principles that are out there, you will succeed. And that doesn't mean there won't be bumps in the road, because it is said in the scripture, we're guaranteed the storms and the waters and the wind. You're going to get knocked around a little bit. Especially, I've noticed that when people begin to move forward on something they want to do, a dream they have, I guarantee you, the moment you start going forward, something's going to try to knock you back. But if you have solid footing, that storm will come. That wind will blow. And you will pass through it. But if you don't have a foundation, a sure footing, that storm will come. It will knock the tar out of you. It's all on how you begin and what your roots are put into. We've all seen the storms, hurricanes that come across different places in our country. And it's interesting is the more inland you go, the less damage, property damage there is. And there's a simple reason for that. The closer you get to the ocean, the more shifting the soil is. That's why when you build a house near a beach, there is extra insurance you have to buy to be able to get replacement, because they know you have decided to build that home on shifting sands. It's not as stable as a home inland. It's predictable. Build a solid foundation. Father, we're so thankful that you brought us together. I hope, Lord, as we begin this whole series is helpful. God, we want folks to succeed, young people to succeed. We thank you for our teenagers being here. And God, we just ask that you would just use this week and the next 3 weeks to be able to assist in us understanding our possibilities. And next week, as we talk about potential, Lord, we're going to get rid of some of the myths that people think that if I just had this, I know my potential would be more. We're going to blow that myth out of the water next week, Lord. We ask you to bless us today. We thank you for this church family. In Christ's name, amen.